We've been talking this week about work-life balance following that New York Times story about workers at Amazon, which culls its workforce annually based in part on performance reviews from coworkers. It is a data-driven system that could be coming to your company or a company near you soon. Joining us now to discuss is Robert Sutton. He's professor of management science and engineering at Stanford University. His latest book is called Scaling Up Excellence, Getting to More Without Settling for Less. Professor Sutton, welcome.
It's great to be here.
Well, how surprised were you when you read about what's allegedly going on at Amazon, according to the New York Times?
Well, I was not surprised when I saw that they could find a lot of employees who had terrible experiences there. I did not believe that Amazon was a uniquely evil company because all the competitors in that space, they are places where it's very tough to work. So Amazon might be especially Darwinistic. It's somewhat more Darwinistic and hard-edged than, say, more so than Google, for example. But it's got nothing on Apple. Apple's a tough place to work.
Well, and what about the rest of us, people who work outside of the tech industry? Is that the model? Is that what we're going to see going forward in companies across the country, that it's really cutthroat? You've got to perform all the time, and people are evaluating you minute by minute on what you're doing.
Yeah, well, I mean, there is evidence that the people who are, say, in the top 10% of compensation work longer and longer hours. And so that's part of what you get. But, you know, law firms have been terrible places to work for a long time. Ask anybody who's worked in a major law firm. Consulting firms have similar hours. Financial services firms have similar hours. Maybe because of things like Glassdoor and because of social media, this stuff comes out more. But to me, this is not a new story. And part of my reaction is, well, gee, sorry, folks. If you want to have your devices, and this is all of us, with the latest and greatest and have upgraded and people can hardly wait for their next Apple phone, this is the kind of workplaces that we're all in sort of this agreement that this is what we want. So we're helping to create jobs like this for people who are under all this pressure. And one thing I would add that's really important, if most of my hot young engineering students walked into a place where people worked 40 hours a week and people went home at 5 o'clock and took long vacations, most of them would say, this place isn't going to make it. I'm going to go someplace that where the action's heavier and I work longer. So part of it is that's the expectation of the hottest, most aggressive and most skilled people.
Workers want to work at a place where everybody is working really, really hard.
Yep. And I actually remember Facebook was a pretty civilized place, actually. They treat their workers incredibly well. I remember going to dinner with a senior executive there, and she was sort of sheepishly said, ooh, I came home at 6 o'clock. This is the earliest I've ever left my team. I mean, Sheryl Sandberg talks about how she comes home and has dinner with her kids every night, which apparently she does. But then she goes back and does 3 hours of email after her kids go to bed. So it's a tough industry. But in the case of Amazon, my hunch, and I would only use the word hunch, it's not like I have deep secret knowledge about them, is that it's a place that probably has even more performance pressure than other places. And also, they do this stack ranking thing where apparently they fire the bottom 10%.
Right.
There's all sorts of evidence, and it's interesting because they're an evidence-driven place, that is a dysfunctional management practice. It's interesting, the companies that brought it to us, General Electric, for example, Adobe used to have it, they've all been getting rid of it because there's all these negative effects that the evidence shows leads good people to leave and strange political behavior.
They're getting rid of it, though, but a lot of companies, it appears, are moving just in that direction, that they want to evaluate people and get rid of the bottom tier.
But to me, there's a difference between getting rid of people who aren't performing well or are jerks. I mean, a really good example is Netflix. Netflix, which is a tough place to work. It's just as tougher than Amazon. And the agreement you make with them, and they're very explicit about this, is if you're not great, we will fire you immediately. And I mean, they don't have a performance improvement plan. And what they do is they pay you really a lot. And if you're not making it, they walk you out the door and there's no performance improvement plan. You get fired that day.
Well, let's talk about performance improvement. And by the way, if you're just tuning in, we are talking with Robert Sutton, who's a professor of management science and engineering at Stanford University. Robert, how are companies going to evaluate employees in the years to come? Are annual performance reviews a thing of the past?
there is a movement towards getting rid or reducing the importance of the annual performance evaluation. So I mentioned Adobe, Deloitte, the consulting firm. And what we're learning, and by the way, this evidence is very old. My joke for years has been that if the annual performance review was a drug, it would not get FDA approval. It's just this bizarre conversation you have with this person who's your boss that bears no relationship to what happens the rest of the year. It's just bizarre.
They're just focusing on the last few weeks before the review.
Or something random, or I don't know, they didn't have lunch, who knows. But when you look at good companies, and General Electric's an example of a good company, they've moved to a system where, yes, they have an annual performance evaluation, but it's viewed as much less important than the conversations that you have with your supervisor on a regular basis.
But so, do you lose, if you're following every little move and everything that you do all year long, do you lose that bigger picture? Sometimes it takes people longer to accomplish big things.
Good point.
Then, you know, week by week.
So I think that that's a great point. And when I think of what a great manager it is and this is some of this problem where they start micromanaging and counting every single thing we do every moment. I agree that that's not a good thing. And if you and I know what they've done at Adobe very well. We've talked a lot with Donna Morris, who's the head of HR, who pushed this through. And it's not like they're micromanaging them more closely. As she described it, similar people worked at Adobe who work at Amazon. 80% of them are sort of these nerd engineers who don't always have the best social skills. And at one point, Donna looks at us, my co-author Huggy Rao and I, and she says, I don't want them to look at the forms. I just want them to go look in the eye of the folks they work with and have a human conversation with them a couple of times a month about how they're doing. And that's what we're trying to make happen. We're not trying to micromanage them. And to me, that's the way that good leadership or good management is where you treat the person you're leading like a human being and you know what their needs are. And if you read the cases where things fell apart at Amazon, that's what didn't happen. That one woman, I think after she had a miscarriage, was sort of like pushed back into the workforce and everything. That, to me, meant that she had a bad boss and did not understand where she was at. And to me, that's what good leadership is. You're taking a long-term view of the people that you work with. You understand where they're at, and you help them get what they need so they can stay there and succeed for a long period of time. That's what a good boss is.
Beyond just having regular conversations with employees, what are the other data points that employers can look at to evaluate how their workers are doing?
One of the good data points is what are happening to your good people? Are they leaving? Another sign is, are they recruiting friends from other workplaces to come work in their organization? Because that notion of sort of referring people is an extremely important thing. And then the other thing, at least in, for lack of a better word, knowledge work, and this is something that Steve Jobs was just genius about, and actually Bezos is too, Mark Zuckerberg, is this notion of creating the feeling that what we're doing is important and we have pride in a job well done. At another organization, which is just, if you want to have the best leader I've seen in Silicon Valley, is Ed Catmull, who's the president of Pixar. He's been there for 30-something years. And if you go to Pixar, you can see that when they come out with a movie and it's great, every single person at Pixar, and I'm talking about the security guard and the receptionist, not just a lower-level animator, have great pride in the fabulous work that we've done because that's the way that Ed leads people. And so that's what great organizations do. It's intrinsic rewards doing stuff I love.
But when you take everything that you have said and you combine it with what we've read about what's happening at Amazon, I just wonder if we're moving into a place where the work-life balance is moving a lot more toward work and a lot less toward life.
I think in many places it's terrible. I think we're pretty sick as a society. And Amazon and other places, they rely heavily on people who either don't have families or don't have interest in work-life balance, and the job is everything for them. And so it's sort of like going to prison or going off to war or something. Like you join. And one of my students, it's about 3 or 4 years ago, he elected not to go to work for Google because his girlfriend didn't work at Google and he would never see her. And you think about it, they feed you, they have your laundry done.
You never leave. You're there all day long.
And why would you leave? Life is great. If his girlfriend was there, it would have been perfect, right? When you have places like Amazon, places like Apple, places like Google, any of these companies that are in very competitive environments, you start wearing out people so much and you start getting them so focused on being competitive that they kind of voluntarily forget about the rest of their lives because they become so obsessed with it. And to your point, we just sort of wear people out. And even when they go home now, what are they doing? They're looking at their phones.
Right.
Even when they're there, they're not there. So I think this is something that not just for Amazon, but as a society, we've got to start working on the agreements that we have with one another for our employees and our families. I mean, even as customers, like, you know, maybe we should stop bugging people in the middle of the night or something like that. But this general sort of notion that we as a society have to sort of slow down and maybe think about there might be times when we need to hit the brakes.
Robert Sutton, professor of management science and engineering at Stanford University. His book is called Scaling Up Excellence, Getting to More Without Settling for Less. Robert, thank you.
Thank you. It was great.
And what do you think is the best way to evaluate employees to maximize productivity but also create that appropriate work-life balance? Let us know at hereandnow.org or shoot me a tweet at Jeremy Hobson.